So it's kedai so we'll follow along. It's very, very, very fascinating. How to make a kosher mikvah. This expires parshas Chukas, Poraduma, Tahara. This week is that Tahara shall Taharas Yisrael. Part of the Paraduma is you have to the person's tummy mace. Okay, you sprinkle the ashes of the Paraduma on the third day, on the seventh day, and then at the end, the person must go into the mikvah. You go to the mikvah on day one and on day seven. How? What?
Day
no, I don't. You don't go on day three. Only the first.
Oh,
day
I mean that.
The ashes, the paraduma. The ashes have to be sprinkled upon the person on day three and day seven. But even though you go on day seven, you still must go to the mikvah, and then there is Harav Shemesh, and then the person is tar. So let's discuss how we make a kosher mikvah bizman hazeh in the year 2018 l'mispar. Tov shnayin ches. Money. Besides the money, what about the halachas? How is it constructed? What are the issues? What are the problems? What are the big issues in making a mikvah bizman hazeh? So I every so often over the years I've tried to I never learned mesechta mikvahs. It's all in the mishnayis. It's a very hard mesechta. I read articles in Hebrew and English. I never really had clarity. We learned a bit. We once gave a shiur by mikvah here a while ago, but now I came across a new article in a new safe, not a new safe. We have the safe I use all the time, but it's a new volume, it's a different volume. We've used it for a while, this volume as well. And he has here such a good article, such clarity. It's just an eye-opener to appreciate how to make a mikvah bizman hazeh. This is really, really, really good stuff from the Sefer Oitza Machmadim, the fifth volume from Nosson Gottlieb. We've used this sefer many, many times. So let's discuss the basic yisoides.
By the way, there's somebody in Lund City that makes private mikvahs in homes.
There are specialists. There are a handful of people today that know this inside out. Only you can literally count them on your fingers. People who have the expertise.
I think it's with Moshe and his son.
That's one person. There are a few people.
Halacha, you don't make a private mikvah for yourself anyway.
Who says you don't make a private mikvah?
There's a Kabbalah, you don't make a mikvah for Noshim.
Oh, Noshim, a mikvah for Noshim. Okay. For Noshim. No,
you
it's true.
A swimming pool, you can make it anywhere.
Right, you don't make for Noshim. For men, for Tfilas Ezra, that's a different story. Tfilas Kalim or Seifer, but for Noshim, there has to be a Hashkocha from a Bezdin to make sure it's Kedask. That's Karis. The Zman HaZeh, the only time one needs to go to mikvah min HaTorah l'chol HaDeos is a Nida. A woman who is a nida to be mutar lebala, you need a mikvah that's kosher lahalacha. There's nothing; it's a deoraisa. And if she does not go to a kosher mikvah and the husband has relations with her, he's chayav karis. It's a chayav karis. So tfilas noshim lenida is a deoraisa. It is serious business. A man going to a mikvah, there's no such thing. There's no chiyuv bizman hazeh for a man to go to mikvah at all. Men go to mikvah for one of two reasons, either for three reasons. A man goes to mikvah midrabanan. It's not midrabanan, but you go for one of three reasons. Either to do teshuvah. It's part of the process of doing teshuvah, to go to mikvah. A baal teshuvah has to go to mikvah. Therefore, Erev Yom Kippur, you go to mikvah. It's part of the process of going to mikvah. Some only go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. It's part of doing teshuvah. Chatasi is supposed to go dunk in the mikvah three times. Mishnah Berurah, Chatasi, Avisi, Poshati. That's the Iker Tam why a man would go to mikvah. Is that a Daraisa? Definitely not, but that's what has to be done. Second time a man goes to a mikvah is Tfilas Ezra. If he has relations. So he had an emission of zera that brings contamination upon a person's body, and a person who has a sensitivity to these matters goes to mikvah. It used to be a requirement that you're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to say Hashem's name. You're not allowed to wear tefillin until you first go to mikvah after one has an emission. That is called tefilas ezra. And then there's a third reason to go to mikvah, not for tshuva, not for tfilas ezra. It's called toisefes kedusha, to bring upon your body, upon your neshama, an additional dosage of sanctity. And many people go Erev Shabbos to mikvah to fulfill this concept called Tosefes Kedusha. They're not doing teshuvah. I mean, they should be doing teshuvah, but that's not what you're going to mikvah for. And I assume, let's say they're tahar. They don't have an issue with Tzvilas Ezra. Either they're completely tahar, or if they did have an issue, they went right after they had a problem. So why are you going again on Friday? You're going in for Tosefes Kedusha. That's the three reasons why a man would go to mikvah bizman hazeh, and that's purely midrabanan. There's no chiyuv minat Torah to do so. We do it because it's the right thing to do, each his own. And then there's another time you go, what? Oh, very good. You're saying very, very good. You're very good four times. Let's add it to the list. Before you say, write Hashem's name. Hashem's name, but that's real. That's because of Tfilas Ezra. That is an extension of you're not allowed to write Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah if a person is Tomei because he had bodily emission. So that would be that if a Sefer did not have an issue, okay, a Sefer did not have this issue, so he can go weeks, months, years without going to mikvah. Now, is there such a thing that maybe even subconsciously he doesn't even realize that maybe what they call a nitzitz, a teeny, teeny, teeny drop, the mind subconsciously caused there to be an emission? Maybe. So maybe that's why the minig is. A sofer, when he writes a letter in Hashem's name, he goes to mikvah no matter what. Even if he thinks he's tahar, because you don't know how the body works. You don't know how the mind works, the body works, whatever it is. So we're machmir, and they go very frequently. So they're not giving you to write Hashem's name. They write a letter. May Iker Hadin know. You are not required to go to mikveh, even if you're Vadai Tomei from Tzvilas Ezra. You're not mechuyev to go to mikveh when you write a letter in the Sefer Torah if it's not Hashem's name. And Seifrim also are not required to do so. However, today, we live in a very frum world, a very right-wing world, and today it has become the minog of Seifrim not to write anything in the Sefer Torah until they go to mikveh. Yeah.
Also, I think they said you can't go and carry the Arim or the mess unless you've gone to the mikveh.
Wow, what a chumrah. What a chumrah. What an extreme chumrah. So I just recently heard someone going crazy about this. Anyone that, no, if you didn't go to mikveh, don't touch my aura.
It becomes tumah.
For a person to give a tzavah, that should be the case. That is, here the guy, he's in a box. He's dead. He's going out of Olam HaEmes, and he's telling people, I'm so holy, don't touch me, unless he went to mikveh. This person was going, I know a Talmud Chacham. What? Even the family to say it. All right, so first, let me explain something. We said this many, many times. Bizman Hazeh, this Tumas Meis. Okay, this Tumas Meis. Everyone today is Tumas Meis. Everyone today has come in contact with the dead. A dead body is an Avi Avoy Satoma. If you come in contact with the dead, you're an Avatoma. Most people are born in hospitals. Right? We're born in hospitals. And most of the hospitals have dead bodies in the morgue. So Maimonides, I don't know, they have a light. Maimonides is from a very few houses that has a light outside the building. And Kohanim, they come to Maimonides. If the red light is on, it means there's a dead body in the building. If there's no dead body in the morgue, then the light is off. Kohanim can go and visit people in the hospital.
It could be in the hospital.
Then it could happen. The while they're in the hospital, then they get a message. I don't know how it works. You have to every the Maimonides has a system which allows Kohanim to come visit people in the hospital. It's a very good system. A Goyisha hospital doesn't have this system, so you really do not know what's going on. And the truth is, in Goyisha hospitals, they keep bodies for a very, very long time. They don't release the body for a long time. They do autopsies. They do a lot of things. The body lingers, so therefore it's very, very common in a non-Jewish hospital for there to be bodies in the morgue, and they don't take any precautions to stop the flow of tumah. There are techniques that you can do up halacha to prevent the tumah from spreading from one part of the building to the other part of the building. In a Goyisha hospital, they don't even consider this. You're talking to the wall if you would ask the chaplain to do these type of things. So therefore, most women, they'll give birth, and even in Maimonides, I don't know how it works the maternity ward, But ruba de ruba, most people are born in hospitals, and that means from the moment you come into this world, you are already tamei nes. Sorry to break it to you. The moment you come into this world, you're tamei nes. I've never heard of a person say, chumrah, I only want to go and be born, the birth should be in the house, should be born somewhere else, because I want a child to be in a state of tahara from tumas nes, until he becomes an adult. It's coming soon. New chumrah, coming soon. Coming to theaters near you. Okay? The next chumrah, you have to be born in the house because we want to prevent tumas hames. It's at least the bar mitzvah. At least the bar mitzvah. You know, think about it. Theoretically, it's possible to do. It's theoretically possible to do. Why? You don't send boys to funerals. In fact, they say until 8 years old, it's not a good idea for until 8 years old. I read it from a mechanic. A mechanic says, until 8 years old, you should try to keep children away from funerals. After 8 years old, then it's okay. Then it's okay. Then they have to learn how to deal with it. I didn't see a dead body until I was probably past bar mitzvah. I was spoiled. I didn't see a dead body until. And the first time, it was. I didn't see it. I just saw in a box. It was a shock. It was a shock to me. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't matter. An Eretz Yisrael, the body, you know, I've seen dead bodies, mamish, real dead body. I can tell you, dead bodies, like I told you, to me it was a shock, deader than dead. You look at the face of a dead body, it's like, wow,
yes.
Deader than dead. You wouldn't even imagine what it means to be dead. You see the neshama, you only appreciate what it means, the neshama, when you see a dead body. But okay, whatever it is, it's interesting. You know, it's possible, theoretically possible, that a person in today's modern day and age, we live in a society where, Baruch Hashem, people don't die in the streets, Baruch Hashem, and dead bodies are in special places. It's theoretically possible for a person not to come in contact with a dead body, Tumas Meis, until he becomes a little bit older. I mean, he'll be a Rishon for sure, because everyone else is a Tumas Meis. So when they touch you, you become a Rishon, but you're not an Avatumah. A Rishon is a Rishon. There's different madregas. It's a very interesting idea. A Rishon. You'll become a Rishon, but it's definitely theoretically possible not to be an Avatum until you get a little bit older and you go into the oil and oil hames. But if you're born in a hospital, your chances of being of not being a tummy mace from the moment you come into this world is very, very small. Unless you have a certain type of hospital, maybe my mom is like that. I don't know.
Maternity hospital.
Only for birth. Only birth. It could be they have, Maimonides, they have a maternity ward. Is the maternity ward in the same building? Is it in the same building as the regular hospital, the maternity ward? It is. It's in the main building. They have a very nice maternity ward there. It's in the same building there.
When Rachel Imenu gave birth to Yosef and died, he became Tomei?
Yeah. Okay, but on both sides, there is no way for one to be mitahir himself from tumas meis. There's no way. In order to be mitahir from once a person of tumei meis, you're stuck with it your whole life because there's no paraduma. You need the paraduma ash in order to be. So therefore, the whole world today, everyone is tumei meis unless you're born. Just because your mother is tumei meis does not make you tumei meis. Newborn baby, not born in a hospital, is not tumei meis until he goes into el hameis. It's a very interesting idea. Okay, whatever it is, so therefore the question over here is, it's going on a point we've mentioned many times, to review the point. A dead body, what is the minig by the Chevra Kadisha? They immerse a dead body in a mikvah. So the Chazal say, Atoivel v'sheretz biyadai. Being toivel a dead body in the mikvah is not going to take away the tumas hames. The dead body is navi avoy satuma. What in the world are you accomplishing by immersing a dead body in the mikveh? It's a joke. What are you accomplishing? It's not a joke. The answer is there's two different types of tumah that have nothing to do with one another. There's tumas mace and there's tumas keri. Here, by side. There's tumas mace and there's tumas keri in the emission, shechva zera. Two completely tumas. There's no way you can remove his mana zet tumas meis, but you can remove the contamination. It's an avatuma. If a person has an emission of zera, he is an avatuma, even if he's not tumi meis. And that avatuma is a different beast. It's a different type of contamination. And that contamination can be removed very easily by going to the mikvah. Go to the mikvah, and you have to wait until the sun sets. You go to the mikvah. Going to the mikvah removes 99% of the tumah. Then there's a tfulio. I mean, wait until the sun sets, and then that tumah is gone. When a person dies, the reason why they're toivel his body in the mikvah is to remove the tumas, carry the emission. Maybe this person had an emission at some point during his last days of his life and did not yet have a chance to go to mikvah for the tumas carry, so he has tumas carry. And more so, Chazal say that when a person is in a state of fear or in a state of shock, he has an involuntary reaction that causes zera to come out of his body, even a teeny, teeny mashu, without his knowledge. When the neshama senses that the malach hamoves is coming to get him at the very last moment of his death, that, according to Chazal, causes, triggers an emission of zera, even a teeny, teeny mashu of zera, whatever that means. Tisha Kavim is the same thing. Tisha Kavim is the next best thing. You can remove. Chazal allowed, taught us that you can remove the tumah of keri through Tisha Kavim. You can take a shower. If you take a shower and you stand on, you have to stand under the, don't just take a shower and wash your body. You have to stand under the head of the shower for 2 minutes, maybe even less, whatever it is. The shaila, what is the shir Tisha Kavim? And that's almost as good as going into the mikvah to remove from your body tumas keri. So that is why they do it to a dead body. When they make an announcement, anyone who did not go to the mikvah, don't even consider coming near the dead body, near the aron, is because they're telling you, we know you're tamei mes. The body is aviyah v'satoma. And you're also tamei mes. But being that you may be tamei because you are a baal keri, you may have had an emission, which brings upon you a tumah called tumas keri, we do not want you to touch the dead body because that tumah, the dead body is free from. The dead body may be an avia voice of tumah with regarding tumas meis, but the body has been cleansed from the tumas keri because they put this body in a mikvah. So you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up.
Touching the box doesn't make a difference.
It does. The box, the chelik, is the chelik of the dead body. It's all one and the same. The box itself, the box is miyuchid for the dead body. We view the box. Doesn't matter. It does not matter what's inside. Even if you have a lot of tefachim. The box, the oroin itself is an aviyah v'satoma. The oroin itself.
Yeah, but that's scary.
Oh, so the understanding is you're right, you're right. You are correct to a degree. You are correct to a degree. But the assumption is with Machmir, just like the box itself is designated for the dead body, and the dead body will be buried in the box, especially in America. In America, the dead body will be buried in the box, yes. That's how it is in America by law. That's how it is.
No, it's not by law.
They violate the law.
No.
They don't tell them what they do.
What?
You're allowed it?
We say you can make holes in the box. Holes in the box.
They have all techniques. Well, they just don't care. They take out the box altogether. I saw seven cases. They go down, they put the box down, and the chevra goes down. They take it. They take it apart. What's so bad burying in a box? It's not an energy so they don't build the bigger thing.
Because you wanted the body to.
Eretz Yisrael, the body is not. It's not like an Eretz Yisrael. They don't put earth in the body itself. The body they don't put. They put the body into the ground. The body touches the actual ground, and then they put concrete slabs on top of the body.
Yeah, just so that it doesn't mess it up.
Right, and then they put the earth. The earth does not touch the body. The body is very bad covered. The way they bury an Eretz Yisrael is very much better than America.
Yeah.
In America, either they're in a, either the chevra, they don't want to do anything, so they just leave it in the box, okay, and it's a wood box. And the box eventually disintegrates, and in Eretz Yisrael, the body is put on the ground, on the earth. And on top of the body, there are slabs of concrete which are anchored on the sides of the foundation, on the side. There are slabs of concrete.
Can they put wood?
No, because the wood rot. The wood rots. Much better.
A lot of times that's because of earthquakes. No, in California, that's what they do.
Earthquakes? They put slabs of concrete on top?
No, that's in Florida.
Dead is dead. Dead is dead. What's the difference?
I know, but
is it going to come out? Is it going to come out of it?
I don't know.
They put slabs of concrete, and on top of the concrete, they pour earth. So therefore, it comes out to the dead body. It's very bakovedic. The dead body, Yimakayim Bahalacha, the Chiper Admosoy Amoy, he's in contact with the earth, but his body is in full form. There's no earth on top of the body. The body is resting at peace. There's concrete on top. There's no earth making contact. In America, I don't like what they do. America, I mean, some they leave it in the box, and the box eventually will disintegrate, or they open the box,
right,
and then they throw the earth on the dead body itself.
Right.
I don't like that.
The reason they developed it in Eretz Yisrael is a later invention. Originally, they did not put the blocks in there.
Yeah.
What they did now is to make it easy to put in a lot of chlorine. They built foundations beforehand.
They stack them now.
Not stack them. Even in the same place.
Yeah.
If you have a field that has foundations made already for it, with cinder blocks going down. So it's easier for them just to put it in there. I don't think it has anything to do with
it. I don't know.
In America, they changed the law in New York.
Yeah.
You don't need any receptacle to bury a body.
Just the body itself.
So the cheapest way is to take, like you do with a talus, or to take paper.
Right, correct.
They sell special paper bags, gigantic bags.
Okay.
But they charge for the bag the same like they do for a simple coat.
Body.
It's a business.
They can't put in the body bag in the plastic? What about the plastic? What about the body bags? They can't put in the body bag?
You can. What do you think they do in America? They don't put it in the body bag because it's expensive.
Let's go weiter. Now we're out of time. This is just not different. I just want to tell you, the reason why they tell don't come near the dead body if you didn't go to the mikvah is because it defeats the purpose of why we put him in the mikvah. We're charging this family, we charge them $1,000. We're ripping them off big time because we did a tahara. And you'll do different types of taharas. We did a 5-star tahara. We didn't just pour 9 kavim. No, it used to be there were no mikvahs in the chapels. So they poured in the body 9 kavim. Now you can't be in business unless you have a kosher mikvah in the chapel. So you have to have a kosher mikvah, and we charge the customer for the tzvila. We charge them. We're doing you a tahara, and we put the body in the mikvah. If you're going to come along now at the funeral and touch the body, and you did not go to mikvah, and you are tummy because of tumas keri, you had an emission, and you are an ava tuma, and you touched this body, you've made this body, contaminated this body with tumas keri. Tumas mace, we're not discussing tumas mace. This is the avia voisa tuma, forget about that. But there's another tuma that is a different tuma, tumas keri. So there is something to it. You are defeating the purpose of being toivel the body. If you're anyway going to go through the effort, you don't have to do this. This is a chumra, a kabbalistic thing. Dead is dead. Difference makes a difference. The body is tummy to maskeri. Not that it doesn't make a difference.
But they have to be toivel women in the mikvah.
They do toivel women in the mikvah.
Sure. Yes, of course they do.
Oh, maybe you're right. I don't know the answer. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Well, maybe their husband touched her. Maybe. Do they travel women in the mikvah?
Probably yes.
So what tumas keri is there?
There's no
tumas keri by a woman.
They do.
There's no such thing. So maybe because she's a nida, maybe she has tumas nida.
An older woman?
Yeah, whatever. Older woman. It means whatever. Parsa nida. Amol happens. A zava, whatever. Even an elderly woman can have. Can a maisha haya kachaya? A woman has a rias dam. It's not a. Okay, even though a woman's past that age, it happens sometimes. We all pay halacha. I don't know the answer. Okay, I live there.
They have women instead of the men tugging.
Of course, the women is the tahara. Of course.
No, but they do have them. That's why.
Okay, then they do a tahara. They anyway need women. They need the tahara itself to clean the body and to dress the body. Anyway, they have women, so they do that. So maybe that's the time. Maybe because the chashash of either zava, chashash of nida, and that's a different type of tumah. We have to understand that there are different types of tumah, and they don't overlap. Don't just because tumah is. So there is a logic behind it. We will toil them in the mikvah, and if you're going to touch them, you're going to mess it up. We spend a lot of effort. It's heavy. It's hard to do. You're going to mess it up. So don't touch the body if it's not necessary. If you don't have anyone else available, okay. So what are you going to do? You don't have anything to do. But if there are other people who are in this room who have gone to mikvah, there's something to it. Okay? So on the other hand, people don't understand this. They go crazy. So what are you? This is business. Mikvah, dead is dead. You have to understand there is Epis, epis, epis. Now we're out of time. Let me just tell you the Rosh Hashanah, because we're probably spend this 2 days. It's fascinating stuff. Really, really, how to make a kosher mikvah. A kosher mikvah has to be, let me tell you what the issues are. Kosher mikvah has to be 40 saw of rainwater that has not ever been in a receptacle. There's not been drawn in a receptacle. It has to be the first time that this water came to rest has to be directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem brought the water into this world and it came to rest over here. Now, how are you going to make a kosher mikvah bizman hazeh? You're going to wait for it to rain. It takes weeks sometimes. Well, yesterday was a good day. It rained like it was pouring, so you can fill up the mikvah in 5 minutes. You have a whole receptacle of water. You have 40. So 40 is not all that much water. It's enough water basically to cover your entire body. Okay, I don't have the exact to cover. How much water do you need to immerse your body in a minimal space? 3 cubic amas.
Right.
So let's assume that an ama is 2 feet. So it's going to be, I didn't make the calculation, it's going to be six by two. So it's going to be basically, it's going to be 12 cubic feet of water. Is that correct? 2, 4, 6 by 2. So it's 12 cubic feet of water. That's not all that much. It's a lot, okay? It's a significant amount, but it's not crazy amount. Now, you can't extend the water. If that's going to be a mikvah, let's say a big mikvah, very quickly in modern times, the water's going to get filthy dirty. You're going to have to clean the water, right? It's not going to rain every single night when you're going to clean the water. So what do? We have a special bar. It's called a pit, the bar of the real deal, the real mikvah. 40 saw, 12 cubic feet of rainwater that came right from the rain. The roof went up and the pipe straight down to fill up this tank. What's that going to do for us? We're going to build this luxurious, fancy, schmancy tub. Okay, bring in the fanciest designers, get the most exotic tiles, most beautiful staircase, stainless steel, bring in the spitz of the spitz, the people who design bathrooms, glass and mirrors and lighting, and build this gorgeous receptacle. And we're going to drill a hole. The hole has to be 6 centimeters, has to be called Shushateras. We're going to drill a hole, and there's going to be a tube that's going to connect the real mikvah to this beautiful area we're going to call the Bar Hatavila, the bar which you immerse in. That concept is called Hashoka. What's Hashoka mean? It kisses. There's the kosher mikvah, and then there is where you immerse. We're going to make the place where you immerse into a kosher mikvah through a tube. Now, how long? Through a hole. A hole. The bar is built over here. And here is the massive, beautiful tub. You fill it with tap water. Clean, fresh water. Every day, every other day, every 3 days, once a week, depending upon various factors, how often it's used. Clean, we'll put in chlorine to make sure it stays
warm
clean.
Water.
And then, we open up this connection. And for one moment, the bar of the 40 cubic saw touches, it makes contact with this tap water, hashaka, kissing, kosher, it's now kosher. Now, question, when you immerse in the mikvah, does that opening have to remain open? Or is it necessary? Oh, I only have to open it for 1 second. 1 second, I open it up, it kisses, it's kosher, I can close it. Or it must remain open when you immerse in the mikvah. This is the machlekes between the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Rosh is of the opinion, no. You do it for a split second. You open up the tube. You let there be a connection between the real mikvah and your bathtub, we'll call your fancy schmancy bathtub, your jacuzzi. It's kosher. Kosher, you've done. Shut it right away. Close it as soon as possible. And now it's a kosher mikvah. That's the Rosh.
But for talking for the mace,
not doing mace. We're not doing the mace. Tumas Kerry, you can take a shower, I told you. Stand under the shower at 9 kavim. We're talking about Nida. Neither. We're talking about the real deal, a real kosher mikvah. Rabbeinu Yerucham, Zerishayim, he disagrees with the Rosh. He says, If you don't, if you the water you're immersing in your jacuzzi is tap water, that's not a kosher mikvah.
Right.
You want to come onto a kuntz and you want to connect to a kosher mikvah. Yeah, it works. It's a mishnah. It's a mishnah in Masechet Nigvos, but there's a condition. The condition is that it got to be like that. It got to be connected. The hashaka must be in existence when you immerse in the mikvah. And if you're not, it's the hashaka. It's not there when you immerse in the mikvah. Sorry, buddy. Just because for 10 seconds you made that connection, bottom line is the water you're immersing in is not maybe a little bit, maybe a drop of water channeled when you open up for 1 second. But when you're immersing in this tap water, it's not kosher. Rabbeinu Yochum holds it must remain open 24/7. Oh yeah, when you're immersing. How do we paskin like the Rosh or Rabbeinu Yochum? The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says we paskin like the Rosh. Like the Rosh, you can be Mekel. The Ramah does not argue, he's silent. The Shach says, if you can, you should be Machmir like Rabbeinu Yerucha. Fine. What's the problem? If you Machmir like Rabbeinu Yerucha, what's going to happen?
They're
going to run out of water. After a day or two, all the water is going to mingle. And what used to be kosher water, rainwater, will now be here, and what used to be your tap water will be here. You'll never preserve the integrity of your original
bar.
So what's so bad? The Rambam and the Ravid say, if you don't preserve the integrity of your original bar, at least Rav, it's possible. The Rosh, who is Makel, holds, it's okay, who cares? Who cares? As long as you start out good, we couldn't care less if everything gets all messed up. That's the Rosh. The Rosh is Makel across the board. You can open it for 10 seconds. Finished. And you know why it's Kedai only for 1 second? Because it's filthy. You don't want the germs and all this stuff, schmutz coming inside. But then, let's say you keep it open to be Machmir. Even if you don't keep it open, after you do this 100 times, it's all going to mix together. You no longer have the integrity. The Rosh says, so who cares? If it's once it's good, it's always good. It doesn't make a difference. The Rambam and the Ravid say, no. If you don't have your original 40 saw there, you don't have the integrity, it's no good. So therefore, we need some solutions in order to preserve the integrity of your original mikvah and yet be able to change the mikvah or all the chumras. And that's where all of the ideas begin to flow. 10 solutions. They are all done. All done today. I thought I saw them all after learning this. I asked the Rav and Rabbi Shmuel, what do you do here? He told me a whole new chiddush. I need to do something over here. Something entirely different. So Mir Tashem tomorrow and the next day, we're going to go weiter. It's very fascinating.
Whoever ate in the back room, please contribute your time to clean up.
Immerse himself. He's going to use it, and he's not going to be going himself.
Why? Because it's no good. It's for the next guy.
Therefore, according to Rabbi Yoraham, it should be open automatically to make Abraham anytime.
That's not a problem. It doesn't disqualify. Because the tub, you're going to be heating up, and the bar, you're not going to heat. So that will prevent the cold. The cold will not rise. Hot water rises. Cold water stays below. So if you have the kosher, not like we do today on the side. But you build a mikvah where you make the bar underneath the place where you're actually being toiva. The bar hatzfilah is above, and the bar of the megis shaman is below, and you always are makdik to heat the bar where you're toiva, and you're very careful not to allow any heat to enter into the bar of the megis shaman. Cold water will never rise to hot water.
The other thing that Chazay Nish says
to add Zariah, the Eitzah, the Hashaka, it's unbelievable, it's Levedic.
I know.
Levedic is so much, it's very Gishmak. The Chazay Nish originally held, you should be daf to not do Hashaka. No Hashaka whatsoever. Not
just
even
store it in.
Why not? Why not? Unbelievable what he said. You know why? He says, because he's ahead of his time. Because it's filthy, dirty water. The bar may gishan is filthy, dirty water. You clean the whole bar of tefillah, you clean it all the way, you put fresh new water, and you open up the hole so that do hashaka. When you do hashaka, you take all the germs, all the filth from the may gishanin that's all mingled, and it's coming in over here, it's coming into your bar. What's going to happen? Salitis and all these things. You think you put enough chlorine? You have to have a mikvah that's as clean as possible. So don't even bother with the chumrah of having kashak. Don't make any bar. Do the zuya. He says you should only do zuya.
Pour water into the
bar. You have another bar,
the bar,
a special bar, a bar, right? And you pour the water and the
into
pour,
the bar and let it
come in. So there are a lot of problems with this.
Yeah, because then it's not always, according to the Rambam, there's a problem.
Chazanish has a tremendous chiddush, which everyone is going to come, it's not a problem. But the Rambam holds only a problem that displacement is only because of Maris Ayin. The Rambam is not saying it's possible, it's only Maris Ayin. And it's only true when it rests. If you have a bar and you're pouring water, and the water comes to rest, that's where the, and then you take out water, pour another cup of water, take out water.
That's nice.
And it comes to rest, that's where this, if you end up when the day is over, you don't have the original water, that's where the Rambam says that it's no good. But if you pour water, and the water never comes to rest, and it's over, even if at the end of the day, it's not, none of the original water is there, because by pouring water, you're stirring it up, even the Rambam and the Ravid admit it's kosher lechatchila. So you do this technique of Zuria and his Shita, no Hashaka because of environmental reasons. You're the only one. It's disgusting.
But they do it two ways. They do it today. They pour chlorine. They put on the bottom.
No, they have more. They have two. We're going to do this.
That's Chabad.
But it sounds also.
So what happened with the Chazit? First of all the buildings show the Imamish, Eish Lohavari held. They're not holding this condition, the Chazanish. They held that when the same was totally off. So we didn't hold this. But there were people that were chasim and didn't believe in him. They did. They made a myth like this. Guy comes to the chasim, he's all documented in this paper. Tells the chasim what happened. This whole technique, your technique, is only good provided that you don't have in the bar 3 logim of mayim shu'uva. If you start out making a mikvah with 3 logim of mayim shu'uva, and then you do zuriya, the mikvah is possible. Because that's the halacha in the Mishnah. If you start with an amount of water, 3 logim, and then you pour in 37 megishamim, the mikvah is possible.
Sure.
And there's nothing you can do to be masaking it. Mm-hmm. If you have a hashaka, you can be misakim. You can have a hashaka, open up a plug, and you're done. But if you don't have a hashaka,
no. But what they do is that they start off with a bar
empty.
They empty the bar. Oh, so you pour into that. And then it's
so the problem is every time you change the water, not all the time do you hire people with such talmidei chachamim to change the water. It's very common. The guy comes to the chaz and told him, I went to a place. The mikvah, they cleaned the mikvah, and there was some water. There was water in the mikvah in the mitzvah, and it was definitely more than free woman. Because the guy who cleans the mikvah, he washed this, that, and they spritz water. Okay, we're done. And then the last thing, the water happened to be in the mikvah where they get the mitzvah. It's supposed to be, let's say, 100 gallons. It was less than a half a gallon of water was after they finished.
Was that 3 lugim?
Whatever it was. It was more than 3 lugim. Holidays. And then the guy, now I'll make the mikvah. They turned on the water to the Zriya. For a beautiful mikvah. The mikvah is possible. The guy in the holidays, Nashim and Pelin is the mikvah. They told the Chazunish, he was so shaken up. He said, I have charato gemura on my sheet of what I said to do. This, my idea will lead to a terrible takola. Don't do this anymore. It was choizah because of this takola. Because if you do hashaka, you always have a backup. The backup is just in case when they started filling up the mikvah, they blew it. If you do it zuriya, you have to start with an empty tub. No water. Because if you start with hashaka, you fill it up to the very, very top, and then you pull the plug and you're done. You start by filling it up.
What they have is like this.
I know what they have.
No, forget it. Even in the bar.
Yeah. Two bars.
You have two bars.
High and below.
So when you're doing the Zriya, and you're coming from the top already.
Right.
So there's a shaka with at the end, when they finish, there's a shaka.
Who invented this? Who's the one who invented this?
Who invented it?
Satmarav.
Helmets.
In Europe. The Satmarav is the one who invented this thing.
Who says?
He says over here.
Okay.
And then he told this to two people, the Minchas Yitzchak and another person, and they built in their community, but they made a shinui. They made a shinui because they spoke to the Chelkasi, it was called Tiafa. They made a shinui because they asked Mumchim, and they discovered, the Mumchim told them that the technique of the Satmarav doesn't make a difference. Because they done studies, I guess they use food coloring with water. Food coloring, a bar agave bar with a hole the size that Allah requires, within a couple of days, all the water is submerged anyway. It doesn't make a difference. So they improved upon it. They made the bar agave bar a hole of a mashahu. And the lumdus is, this that you require to have a regular full size, that's only a psul deraisa. The whole chumra of the Rambam, the Ravid is not a deraisa, it's a derabbanan. So for a derabbanan, you can be sanuch on having just a mashahu. Along comes the Chazon Ish, and he says, Yotza Sechore Behefsedoi, by making the mashu, the imamish make it possible, because then it becomes Zoichalim. Zoichalim means the mikvah.
Yeah, what does it?
God's terrorists and terrorists and terrorists, what happens over here, what goes on. And today, everyone is so confused, they have all these chumras, they're like five bars.
Listen, that they pour the water on a cement.
Right, three, because that's another halacha.
Because the zriya shouldn't be from shuvin.
It's already on the ground.
It's not a shuvin.
Right, another text.
But the Helmetz was the expert on it. He wrote
the books all
about the kavura business. Yeah. You should get, there's a guy, Jacobson. He's over here, and then 22nd. He runs a Dat Israel. His son took it over already. But he should talk about it.
So you want to go get him?
I'll try. But you're going to let me when you're doing. I don't know. The Yerushalayim has a minhag that the children don't go out up there. Why?
Go up where?
Up to the Kura.
Yeah.
What's the minhag of the children don't go out?
Why?
Because the children will remind the...